Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hey, 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 what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave, and we back here again on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock, just like usual, baby. Hey, man, I feel like we're becoming more like family. Y'all just talk shit. There go, my boy. What's happening, Killer Wayne?
Nothing much. What's up?
Oh, man, we're just starting off this man cave tonight on a big old smooth Saturday night here in Houston, Texas. Man, the weather has been outstanding all day long today. You couldn't ask for a better day here in Houston weather-wise. Now, I did see quite a few wrecks because I don't know if people realize. They're probably looking up in the sky at the blue clouds and blue skies and running in the back of folks. I was on the freeway today on 45 South, 610. All of them got wrecks on. Record truck drivers had a grand day all up and down Belfort. They had a grand day today if you was a record truck driver. Them boys was out there like hawks picking up their car. Man, people run up the back of each other like they got bumper cars out there. I said, boy, look at here. Got your license out of Cracker Jack box or something. Had to be.
People don't realize you got to drive for you and other and the people that's on the road too.
Yeah, you got to keep your head on the swivel, baby.
Yep.
You want to look down and mess with the radio and FaceTime and all kind of stuff while you're driving. You can't do that, man. You're going to tear something up.
You will.
I don't care who you are. You hit somebody from behind, you in the wrong. Yeah, you the one that insurance rate finna go over sky high.
All the way.
I don't care if they stop dead in the middle of the street. If you hit them from behind, you wrong.
Yeah,
that's just how it works. You gotta control your speed.
Believe me, you coming up behind them, you didn't see them coming.
Yeah, believe me, I know because I done it before. That's the only reason I'm speaking on it. I'm speaking from experience. I've been the one who got hit from behind and the one who was hit from behind, so I know exactly how it works.
Yeah.
So I don't care if they were dead. Stop on a green light. If he hit you from the behind, he in the wrong. I say, well, there you go. Praise the Lord. But how's everything been going with thus far this week, Kenneth Wayne?
Just working, studying.
Hey.
Got it today, cut the grass, front and back, trimmed it up. That's about it.
I understand. My yard man came today. I ain't cut no grass. I told you about that. And you need to stand on the show before my wife gets to talking about I need to go buy a lawnmower.
What'd you say?
I said, you need to quit bringing up the fact that you be out there cutting that grass for my wife here. And be talking about I need to go buy a lawnmower, bro. Keep your yard shenanigans to yourself, man. I ain't trying to out there cut no grass. There's a bunch of things I do, but cutting grass ain't one of them, baby. I'm just not built for that. I'm more of a climate control type brother. And yeah. I tell them all the time, Kenneth Wayne, I'm built for comfort, not speed, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like Cadillac. You don't see nobody drag racing Cadillac. They slow ride and they cruise them.
I didn't understand that. Who was down here? I think it was a little restaurant, a little store.
Uh-huh.
And a guy had a Cadillac, had it sitting up, jacked up in the back.
Yeah.
And you thought, when he cranked up, you thought it was a truck or a race car.
Yeah. Now, look, if that ain't the craziest thing you ever want to see, I'd be like, bro, what's wrong with you? You look. The Cadillac police supposed to come and beat him up, take him to jail. You ain't gonna do no Cadillac.
I don't understand when dude dropped them full size trucks to the slab.
Oh yeah, you tripping.
Yeah. Now back in the game, you know, you had little Chevy S10,
Mitsubishi. I'm gonna do you one even better. What about them Mazda B2000?
Yeah.
And the 2200s. I had one of each, both of them, the 2000 and the 2200.
Yeah.
So I know what you're talking about. We kept on something dropped. You know, that was a little truck because you couldn't put nothing but a damn lawn chair on the back of that. No high school pool. That wasn't really no truck. That was just a glorified little something to ride in.
Yeah, but boys were fixing them up, though.
Yeah. Oh, now you can make them real mean. Look, put you some of them PMD seats in that boy.
Mm-hmm. Out of
arrows or something.
Remember old fish ain't biting?
Yeah, ain't bite. Are you game? One of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
Hey, man, what's up? I think my blood pressure. Look, I'm trying to hurry up and come downstairs and get to the show. And
yeah, raw level.
Man, I kind of slid a little bit. Let's just say gravity won.
Always does.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, look, let me tell you something, Steve. Due my size, I don't fall. Because ain't nobody going to help me up. All they're going to say is, hey, man, that big dude over there failed. That big dude failed, and you the one that failed, because ain't nobody helping you up. So I take my time. Look, it's been a long time, Steve, since I've been in a rush to do anything.
Hey, look, my son talked about, hey, Dad, why didn't you call to help me? I was like, man, look, your dog looked at me and just rolled the eyes and turned around and went the other way.
There it is.
Dog had better sense than me.
Oh, yeah. So the dog bowl will be empty for a while.
Look at it. So oh.
You was
dog
because
you
fake. Her stomach gonna touch her back for a minute.
Yeah. Go ain't do nothing, you know, alert nobody. But say, me and my wife had to have the sorriest dog ever. We called him Monk. He was so friendly. People stole it. He was just that friendly. Oh, no. Around the keys, he was a bull master from something else mixed.
Okay.
Now, you know, we were good around the kids, the grandkids. I need them to be there. But somebody come to your at least bark. They'll go shake his hand, you know.
Oh, lick him to death.
Yeah.
Lick him to death. Hey, Kenny Wayne, what'd you say? Somebody come in your yard and he bring them the ball?
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, tie about home. Your treats gonna get short. You don't break, you don't need.
That is. Steve, you talking about falling? Let me tell you something. When you 50 and 51 years old, bro, let me tell you what happened to me. I had somebody ring my. I was at home by myself. This is when we were staying in the apartment over there with the carpet on the floor. Now I got a home pool, so I don't have this problem no more. But the doorbell ring, and I call myself gonna jump up and kick my flip-flops on and run to the door. Bro, I put them flip-flops on and took about three quick steps, and the front end flip-flop bit into that carpet, and down goes Fraser. Bro, I hit that floor. All I heard was, oof! And let me tell you something. I used to fall when I was 20-something years old, Steve, playing football and all that. I jumped right back up. Bro, I let that floor and had to do a self-evaluation from head to toe to make sure all my particulars were still in order, that all my phalanges was working, and all my extremities was in good shape. And then after I realized I was all right, I just started laughing. And then I kindly got up on my knees and crawled over to the edge of the bed and pulled myself up.
See, I was just about to say, see, when you were younger, you could fall. You get up like push-up position. You just get up.
Yeah.
When you get out and you fall, you got to roll and do some strategic movements.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It was a show put on for me to get back up off that floor, brother.
What'd you say? Hey, Jay, what'd you say? It was a production?
I laughed all the way to the front door when I finally opened it. I was like, oh, man, what's up? They were like, man, I'm just coming to check on you. Fool, you like to have to call somebody for me.
Yeah.
You like to have to call somebody because I just hit that flow back there harder than a sack of potatoes. Boy, look here. Yeah, Steve. Hey, I realized after about 40 years old, 45, old bones don't heal fast no more, man.
Oh, no, they don't.
They don't heal fast. You need some turpentine. Look, you need like your grandmama and them just had that turpentine, mercury cone. Mentholatum, been gay, stay gay, and all kind of salves to get up off the floor, man. You heard? Look, you fool around falling, your eyebrows be so, bro. You had your eyebrows be so. That's when you saw me.
Yeah, you told me about that earlier today. After you did all that moving today, they said your eyebrows were sore. I said, man, that doesn't even sound like the work of the Lord right there. That sounds like the work of straight malbolgia.
Let me tell you, it's working the Lord. Them 800 milligram ibuprofen I done took.
Uh-oh.
That's the Lord. I don't want nobody working against Big Pharma. Let them keep on producing. Keep producing milligram, high milligram ibuprofen for your old fellas, man.
I really.
To anybody. Just don't take them on an empty stomach and you'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. You take it on an empty stomach, you ask for trouble.
You ask them for trouble, bro. Everything you got coming out of you.
You ain't lying.
You're lying. I went the first Tuesday when they opened.
Yeah, I went the following day. Baby, my wife went the day before. I went the second day. I got out from work the first day.
Yeah, me and baby went 9:30 or so that first morning.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the church, took care of it. We was in and out there in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. It didn't take me long. It didn't take her long either.
Yeah. How long
did you take both? Me, wifey, and our daughter, we went last Saturday. We did the drive-through.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In and out, man. In and out. We waited maybe in line maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm a strong advocate of that early vote, man. Get it out the way. But believe me, some people wait until the last minute. And them lines
You're right. They wait till the last minute, and then all of a sudden they got all the excuses in the world why they didn't vote. Man, the lines was long. Or I had to work late. You know, they got some jobs, man, are letting their employees take that day off. They're not even going to count it against them.
Yeah, they take that's how important this thing is. See, and people don't realize just how important it is. And you know what I saw today? That the first time I paid attention today, I was riding, and I saw a Metro bus. And the Metro buses in Houston have advertisement on the top where they tell you what bus it is and where they're going.
Yeah,
it says mask up, go vote on every bus. I was okay, man. You got to understand, brother. This thing is really, really serious, man. They talking about vote like it's life or death. In actuality, it is.
Because you think about what's on the ballot. When I say what's on the ballot, like what's before us on it, it's not about, you know, a particular party per se. It's about the person who gets to be nominated president, what kind of power that they're going to have the next 4 years and who they get to put in office. Trump, man, so far been in office 3 years, man, and put in place almost 250 something judges.
Exactly.
And this lady he's trying to put in now, Amy. She's only got 3 years judicial experience. 3 years as a judge, you're going to make her Supreme Court justice?
Exactly.
Now I could think of some Negroes at a barbershop who got way more experience than her about you who could do that. You know, but 3 years of judicial experience, and that's highly qualified for the highest court in the land. Now, I understand that even just being president only takes several things. Being 35 years or older, a natural-born citizen. It doesn't say anything about a college degree. It doesn't say anything about military service. It doesn't even say anything about serving in any political or legislative office. It doesn't say anything about it.
Right.
So I guess in the sense of she's highly qualified because she meets certain criteria. Is she a practicing lawyer and a judge? Yes. Is she a legal resident of the state that she lives in? Yes. Is she, you know, then I guess she meets certain criteria to say that she's highly qualified, but to serve at that capacity, the Supreme Court?
And that's a lifetime appointment.
Lifetime. At least 40 years. At least 40 years.
At her age, she can make it to 80, 90 years old and still be working. Now, this is what's so crazy. He's trying to put in a Supreme Court judge at the end of his term, you know, right before the election. Right. And stopped Obama from doing that. And not only that, he's already appointed 3 Supreme Court judges just in his 3 years. He's already...
Yeah. No, 2. He's got 2. This is going to be the third one.
Oh, I thought this was about to be the fourth
one. This is going to be number 3. It's going to be number 3.
Okay, well, that's still too many for him.
It really is, especially with those type of views that he has, you know.
Right.
You know, especially, you know, you're getting people in there. Oh, think about it. All right, so here's the thing. This just came out in the news the other day.
Right.
So you heard about the plot to, you know, to kidnap that governor, right?
Right.
You know that those people were backed by Betsy DeVos's husband, organization. Now, Betsy DeVos is our education secretary.
Right.
And this organization of people was backed by her husband's money.
Wow.
And this is the type of government that we're facing. This is what we're looking at. It's so bad, JD, man. I told my daughter I don't want her to go to work on Halloween.
Right.
I don't, because she works at a family like a Dollar Tree or something, Dollar General or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't even. It's got all glass windows and it's out there in Trump country. You know the one she work at. I don't want to go into work that day. And it's not about being racist, but it's about the rhetoric that they're saying about things that they're gonna do and what they're gonna do to intimidate minorities. I don't want to have to miss work come November 2nd because I'm in jail.
Right.
For somebody hurting my daughter or trying to scare my daughter. You know, I hate, man, that we're in a world like that. I'm even telling my wife, you know, babe, I don't even think, you know, we were gonna go to a comedy show the 31st. I'm like, you know, babe, I don't even think it's worth it to even be out in the streets, you know.
Right.
And she got AKA plates on her car, so she got a new car and she's already worried about people messing with it because of the Kamala Harris recognition with the sorority, you know. So I'm like, man, it's terrible, man, that we're in an age and a world that we live in that we can't even be comfortable in our own homes and skins and our own environment, in our own country. We can't even be comfortable in our own country, man.
Well, let me
because of somebody's rhetoric.
Yeah, when you got the president of the United States telling a white supremacist hate group to stand back and stand by.
Yeah.
We really in trouble, man. We got some stuff going on in this country. See, what it was, Donald Trump was put in the office to really show us what the heartbeat of America is. The
roots, I can believe that,
of who we are as Americans. You know, there's a situation going on where our country has an opportunity to either show who we really are, or show who we really say we want to be. You know, are we really the melting pot of the world and we open arms to immigrants and all of that? Or are we really racist at heart and want to close our own doors and our gates and don't let nobody in? You know, so are we going to stand behind a racist, rhetoric, propaganda-filled president, or are we going to vote him out of there and get somebody in there who represent what America says they want to be, which is a melting pot, a land of opportunity, home of the free, land of the free, home of the brave, whatever, however you want to say it. But this is our opportunity right now, so that's why it's so important to get out.
Remember, he said he's the least racist person. You know, it's so dark in here, I can't see anybody. What was he trying to say when he said it was so dark he couldn't see people in the audience? What was he trying to say? It's basically when we all black when the lights get cut off. Is that what he's trying to say? You know that he can't see the colors in this room because it's dark. I mean, this guy here talking about he did more for black. Well, I did more for black college and universities. They still waiting on their money. All those HBCUs that he made promises, they still waiting on their money. They're still folding.
But y'all know who else did that? The man that hated the bum and the devil brother, Tavis Smiley. He did that at TSU.
Oh yeah,
the school of journalism and broadcasting. He pledged $1 million. They never saw it.
Yeah, where is it?
They had taken his name down. But you hate Obama so much, but you made a pledge and couldn't come through. But you just a broadcaster.
And the thing was, is the money that was gonna come up, that wasn't gonna be all his money. You know, he has. Supporters, and he has advertisers and people like that who would have probably gladly supported HBCU because it's a write-off, regardless of whether they believe in it or not. At the end of the day, people like Donald Trump, the only color they care about is green.
Right.
You know that. You know, so sure, him saying that I give money to black colleges and universities, and I give to these donations, this and that. It's all a tax write-off. At the end of the day, this man pays $750 in taxes. But he said he paid millions up front in taxes. Okay, if you did, well, if you did, show me your taxes. Why it takes so long to prepare your taxes? If your taxes are done and you did your taxes, why you gotta prepare them if they're done?
Yeah.
If your taxes are done, why you gotta prepare them? Because you gotta go cook them because you know it ain't right.
Yeah.
You gotta go get
them. Biden showed them how what it's supposed to look like, didn't he?
Yeah. Biden released his taxes. Obama released his taxes. I mean, and then he is talking about he's the least racist person, but didn't he challenge Obama and tell Obama he wanted him to produce his birth certificate that he didn't believe was a natural born citizen because his name, he has a Muslim name.
But then
I taught some Muslim kids. Guess what? They were born right here in this country. Just because they have Muslim names doesn't mean that I got students, man, you know, Hernandez. They weren't born in Mexico. That's just a surname. That's just a family name.
Right.
You know, this man here was questioned about his ethnicity, about his birth. He was born in Hawaii and grew up in what, Iowa, with his white grandparents?
Right.
And his white mother? What was that a question? Because as a child, he lived with his dad as a child, and he went to school in India, and he, you know, okay. You got army kids that go to school in Germany and India and all across the world.
Well, my little cousin, he grew up, he's from, you know, he was born in Atlanta, but he grew up in Japan because his dad was in the Air Force.
And so
he grew up until he got almost a teenager before he came back to the United States. But he was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
Two of my cousins was born and raised in Germany.
Yeah, my friend Troy.
That's her name.
Yeah, my friend Troy. He served in the military. He served in Japan. Met his wife in Japan. Came back stateside, and his children, you know, have Japanese names because that was the culture that they were brought up in. But until they came back, but here's the thing. That don't make them any less American than their dad.
Exactly.
That don't make that, you know. You know, America is not a country. It's an ideal. I think that's what people fail to realize. America is not a country. It's an ideal. Mm-hmm. If America was a country, then why we got three of them? Wow. North, South, and Central. Exactly. If it's a country, we got three of them. We got North America, South America, and Central America.
Exactly.
United States of America is an ideal. It's an idea that was put together by some great men who tried to escape persecution in another country and certain ideologies of a different government. They sought political freedom. That's what America is supposed to represent, freedoms. And exactly. here you are that has a man, even though he has enjoyed the freedom and the ideas that this country has allowed him. His family was allowed to prosper greatly. He has prospered greatly under those certain freedoms. He's enjoyed the loopholes in the tax laws to afford him to keep the money that he has, to pay less taxes than you or I do.
Yeah.
You know, he has not paid his fair share in the taxes I do. And if he does, well, I paid millions of dollars, this and that. Okay, but you wrote it off too. So you got it right back. You didn't lose anything. You paying tax was a mere formality.
Right.
That's just like buying a winning lottery ticket. Yeah, you spent $20, but you knew that number, that ticket was gonna win.
Exactly. That ain't fair.
And you know, it ain't, I can say favor ain't fair, but he has learned to play the game. And when he gets called on it, then he becomes the victim. He was all in Joe's face talking about Joe, you know, you talking about what you're gonna do. You had 8 years and you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And I was waiting for Joe to just tell him, Joe. And then Joe said two words, Republican Congress. And that was the end of it. What could he do as a Democrat? What could Obama do as Democrats when there was a Republican Congress that fought them tooth and nail and made sure anything they did not get done?
Was scrutinized and repelled.
Everything they did. Say,
man, Obama didn't do nothing for us. You got him in there. But when he really needed you, you let him down. You didn't go vote the second time. You just by getting him in there. That was the end all be all.
But not just that, Kenny Wayne. Not just that. What happened was people didn't vote and give him the help. People went in and voted. They voted Obama and walked that. They didn't vote down that ballot. They didn't give that man no help.
Exactly.
How Obama win by four million votes? He won by millions of votes. He won the president by millions of votes, but had no help in Congress to go with it. See, what happens is the Republicans in many states, including Texas, they went ahead and changed the law about that straight ticket.
Right.
After Obama got in there that first time, they changed that law. Texas, the Republicans in Texas, they changed that straight. You can now no longer go in there and vote a straight ticket and walk out.
Right.
You got to go in and that's part of voter suppression, because now what you're doing is, if I'm a diehard Democrat, why I got to sit up here and go down the list and pick and choose every Democrat? If I'm a diehard Democrat, I should be able to go in there and I'm voting my party. Click and walk smooth out.
There you go.
We weren't really taught to vote like that, to vote down the ballot. We were just taught you vote a party ticket and you move around. And so once they changed that, people didn't even know they changed. They just thought, if I click for Obama, that's the Democratic Party, that's going to click everybody along the line. And it didn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, it should have had on the screen that showed all the other candidates. But what it did, it just showed up the presidents on one page. And then there was like 10 more pages. People didn't even go through those pages.
Right.
But if you look at the ballot now, it's got that one pager that's got everybody on the president. Then it's got some more stuff on it. So you see, I got another page, some more pages to click on, because I got some other stuff on this page with the president, picking the president. Then it's got another group right underneath it. But that's how they did this, man. And that's part of voter suppression, by taking away what people knew. People knew that if I could vote, I vote a party ticket, I walk out, I'm done. Now when they changed it, you got to click on every person along your party line.
Well, that's how they do, Steve. They change the game in the middle of the game.
Oh, absolutely. What the thing is, I blame a lot of our political leaders who didn't make sure that information got out there.
Exactly.
Where was Sheila Jackson Lee and Al Green there, man, to make sure people knew to vote? You got to vote down the ballot. They changed the rule of, we got to go in there, people. You got to go down them pages. They weren't there. And I know that Sheila Jackson and Al Green and all of them, they can't be everywhere at every time, but some kind of grassroots message should have gotten out. The message should have been put out there where people knew, where people could have been educated on the new process, instead of having to figure out about it after the fact and we feel stupid.
Because my wife came home after she voted. She said, look, you ain't going to be able to do the straight ticket. You got to click through it. I said, yeah. I said, I think I heard about that on the news. But she reminded me when I stepped in their booth, what they're speaking to. But just like you see, down here they had I saw some people had like a little glove on their finger.
Right.
We had Q-tips. And when I got there, there's a guy, he preaches at our church from time to time, and I actually see what he does in our community. And so he's running for mayor of Texas City. But the other guy was out there, and I'm running for mayor. I said, my mind is already made up, sir. And I gave him that look. So when I come out, the young lady just out there for Mr. Johnson was like, ooh, we saw how you looked at him. I said, yeah, Trump would have got the same reaction.
Let's move. If I could see
your work and know what you about, you got me.
It's just hard. What'd you say, get away?
Like the guy that's running for mayor, you see him out here with the people. And then like the mayors and people down here, like they got some homeless places down here. They want to close. What you going to do with them?
Right. Yeah, well, it's certainly a big dilemma this year. And I just hope people take advantage of the opportunity to get out there and realize how important it is that we all participate in this election and any other election that's coming up, whether it be local, state, or your government. elections that are getting ready to come up.
We got to vote every chance we get.
Okay, man.
To the topic, y'all, I want to talk about, I posted a post this week that kind of shook up the airways a little bit. I posted, what did it say, Janice? What exactly was the word? I want to get the wording right because it ruffled a few fellas, and men and women. And that's really what I designed it for, because I try to put some thought-provoking, you know, things on my timeline every now and then, even though me and Bobby don't have to go forward with our foolishness. We still have to, you know, stimulate the black folks' minds sometimes and make sure that we get something out there that forces our audiences and our people to think, man. And what I said was, too many women nowadays want to be married, yet they're walking and functioning in a girlfriend spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh, they got hot, Steve. They got hot at me, Kenny Wang. They ain't know what I was talking about. But yeah. See, you talk about you want to be married, but you don't want to do the things that a married woman would do for a man and hold him down like you should, help him and encourage him to be a better man like you should. You worry about just him looking like this or that, or him having this already, and he hot, and I want to be with him. I'm going to be his mm-hmm. gal. You know, all that's cool, but that ain't what a man be looking for in a woman, for his wife.
Yeah. Now, JD, if my wife was here, you know she would want me to say something on her behalf too, that's a two-way street, that you got some brothers out here that's wanting husband benefits but only bringing boyfriend things to the table, you know. And as men, and you have charged us as men on this show that we have got to be able to step up and be responsible too. If we're going to be men. You know, if you're gonna, you know, you can't be you. If you're gonna be a man, it's kind of hard for a man to be a boyfriend, because the key word in that is boy.
Exactly.
As a man, I can't be a boy. You can't call me a boy, because right. I'll tell you real quick: see a boy, slap a boy.
Steve, you know, mom now. Or huh? The women, some of them women misrecognize who you is and let you have it now.
Hey man, listen. The thing is that a real man is gonna bring real man things to the table. A real man wants a real relationship. A real man wants something that's gonna grow. Just like a real woman will want a relationship that's gonna grow and blossom. No woman, no real woman wants to sit up here and take care of a man. And when I say take care of a man, I'm talking about be his mama. Now right. she might want to take care of a man like I would do things to please my man, because it's going to be mutual, that he's going to do things to please me. I will cook my man his favorite dish. I know that he will maybe get my hair done because he wants me to look a certain way, or he'll pay my car note, or he'll go put gas in my tank. I got to leave out to go work early in the morning.
Right.
And he's going to make sure that I don't have to get out before daylight and try to pump gas by myself. See, that's what a man is going to do. A man is going to make sure that his woman should not have to want too much. Now, certain things we can't be clairvoyant and know what a woman wanted all the time. But there's certain things you can pick up on, because she's gonna say, a woman gonna tell you. She gonna throw some hints.
Yeah,
she gonna say something.
Yeah, we don't want no man laid over there in her pants to see why she out there pumping gas at the thing. That ain't But see, the thing about that is, Steve, I wanted to put that out there, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because so many women, like you say, they are out there, and everybody does it. You invest time and money in the wrong damn place. See, if you got a cat that's laid back in the seat over there while you out there pumping gas, he ain't your man. He ain't never be your husband.
Right.
Mindset ain't toward being no husband. First of all, you got no business out there pumping the gas in the first place. You need. He should have got out the car, walked in there, paid for the gas out of his pocket, and pumped the gas in the car. You supposed to be sitting in there listening to the AC, drinking on a soda or something.
Hmm.
Listen to the music, blowing the AC, sipping on a soda while he out there taking care of the gas and get the car filled up. But hey, so many women are willing to accept subpar situations from these young brothers and not raising them to the standards that they need to be raised to and tested against, and then want to get mad because you didn't get what you thought you was going to get. That's just like if you invest your money wrong stock, you ain't going to get the kind of return you get off of IBM or off of, you know, Google or whatever. You're not going to get that because you invested in the wrong type of stock. So when
I think a lot of that, JD, I blame some of those things that on a lot of feminine mantras, you know, I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. You know, sure, a woman can be independent, but everybody needs somebody. And if you have a man in your life, then if you really want that relationship, you're no longer independent. You're codependent. You know, and that's what teamwork is. When you get any woman who's looking for a husband, she should be looking for a teammate. She should be looking. She's not looking. She shouldn't be looking for a coach, and she shouldn't be looking for somebody to add on her team as a team player. When I say team, she should be looking for somebody to a co-manager. She should be looking for another coach. Someone. If you got the offense, I got the defense. You should be looking for somebody who's going to compliment you.
Right.
You know. You know. JD, I've had a chance. I don't know Queenie all that well because, you know, I've met her, you know, so many times, but I do know that she compliments you. You know, Queenie is serious in business. You throw the hell off. You know.
Hey, man, watch the ball.
Hey, tell the truth, the shame, the devil.
All the time.
You know, so I can appreciate that because that is how a relationship should be. Your wife should be your mirror image, your opposite. When you look in the mirror, if you raise your right hand, it's gonna look like your left going up because that's got to be your opposite. Your wife has got to mirror you. She's got to be your other half. Right. She's got to be. If not, your relationship is not gonna work out because it's not gonna be mutual, you know. And my wife calls me out on a lot of things all the time. And a lot of times she brings up the stuff I did a long time ago because I guess it hurt her that I did those things. You know, remember you would go out of town. You would go with your friends. You never took me. Well, it was a guy's trip. You know, ain't nobody was bringing that woman, you know. But you went here. You did this. I'm like, well, remember the time when you went to Europe with your auntie? You didn't take me, you know. But that was different. Oh, it was different. Okay.
A leash laws in Europe, though. You can't be over there without, she can't have you over there without no leash on you.
I've had to come to realize is that women have much longer memories than us gentlemen. We just let things go. You know, we'll be mad about something. I'm mad that day, and you ask me about it tomorrow, I'll be like, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm over there. But women,
oh yeah,
it's a sore spot, not forever, but ever.
Forever, ever.
It's a sore spot as long as they can look at you and they can draw breath. So you're gonna do something that they're gonna come right back and they're gonna bring that right back to you.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
James, remember the time you did something? Well, baby, that was 10 years ago. I'm sorry, I can't do nothing about that. But
the reason why women do that, though, Steve, most of the time they don't want us to repeat it again.
And I haven't, you know, I haven't. Now, listen, like I told her, look, baby, between my wife, my girlfriend, and my baby mama, like I told her, I said, baby, look, between my wife, my girlfriend, and my baby mama, listen, between the three of y'all, I done changed. And she'll look at me like, you stupid. But I say stuff like that just to say, I'm not the same person that I used to be. I can't rooster like I used to.
Uh-huh.
At 47, I'm not doing the same things I did at 27. I have not wasted 20 years of my life. But the things I did at 27 seem to creep their way back in our current relationship in 2020.
Right.
I'm like, baby, 2020 bad enough. Now you got to bring up, you know, you got to bring up 2010.
I don't need that.
2002, 1998.
There you go.
Why are you bringing up the Kappa Beach Party? They ain't been to Kappa Beach Party since the 90s. Why are you bringing that up in 2020?
Just had one last year.
Huh?
They just had a Kappa Beach Party last year, believe it or not.
No, it ain't the Kappa.
It ain't the Kappa. Like, we had the Kappa.
Already.
They still come to Kappa Beach Party. I don't know what they were thinking. But I went to the first Kappa Beach Party ever. So you know what that one was like.
Yeah, that's what women had. That's what they had. They wore one piece bikini. They wore one pieces.
No, they had dental floss.
Boy, that's freak me. Wrong. That's Atlanta.
I've been to that when I was at Hampton.
Woo!
Yeah, we went down there to Hampton for that. But yeah, you right. But yeah, I just wanted to let women know that, you know, you can't function in a girlfriend spirit and think that man is going to choose you to be his wife. You know, and a lot of people say, hey, man, I ain't giving him no wifely, what they call it, wifely benefits and being, you know, my husband. Well, the thing is, if you ain't giving him no wifely benefits, he ain't going to never make up in his mind that you're going to be, that he going to be your husband. You know what I'm saying? You test drive a car, and if it ain't up to par, you take it back on the lot, tell them I'm good, let me try another.
Exactly.
You know,
I think JD
they gonna keep it.
Yeah, I think what needs to happen is that men and women should have a lot more honest conversations about the expectation in a relationship.
There you go. And you know what, Steve? That's where a lot of people get in trouble nowadays because we are too afraid to have the real conversations and the real talks that we need to have to see if a person meets up to your standards or can rise to the occasion and be what you need them to be in a relationship. We'd rather sit back and ignore the red flags. We want to pacify each other. We want to smooth over it without. And then once you get married and get into a serious relationship and you've invested all this time and money and effort and everything else in the relationship, and realize that this person ain't gonna never be what you need. Now you stuck, and you end up trying to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. You should let it go a long time ago and moved on and found somebody that was more compatible to what you needed. But that's part of what I'm talking about as far as functioning in a girlfriend state of mind rather than a wife. You see, because we have to sit back and have the tough conversations and not be scared to lose somebody because they don't answer a question the way you thought they should answer. You see what I'm saying? If they answer the question the way you thought they should answer, then y'all need to have a discussion about it and why they're answering it the way that they did. And if you don't see them being compromising or pliable to the standards that you need them to be, then you need to find somebody else to try to be with. And one thing in life you can't get back, Steve, people can pay you back a whole lot of things. They can't pay you back no time, brother.
Yeah.
There's no time bank nowhere where it's saved up and they can return it back to you. Let me borrow 4 years of your life. How you going to get it back?
That's true. I think a lot of the problem too, JD, is that some people end up settling because they'd rather have a piece of a man. They end up settling. They'd rather have a piece of a man than no man at all. And they need to understand that your worth goes far beyond what kind of man you know, what your man look like. Your worth goes far beyond, you know, what kind of car your man drive.
Right.
Your worth goes far beyond, you know, what kind of gifts your man can afford you. You know, your worth depends, you know, as Cat Williams said it best, it's called self-esteem. How can I mess up how you feel about you?
I'm telling
you. You've got to have something in yourself, intrinsically in yourself, to know your worth. And then you draw a man to you who compliments that, you know, and vice versa for men. You know, most men just settle, you know, for having a piece of a woman so they could say they either got something on their arm or they could satisfy their sexual desires. But having someone to take care of you and to have your back. I mean, like you, JD, you know, you got your health ailments, you good. You have a woman who in your corner who can help take care of you on the days you're not feeling well, or to help cook and make sure you get a good healthy meal. You know, what if you didn't have Queenie, man, and you get sick? Who's gonna help drive you to your doctor? Who's gonna dial 911 when you can't? You know, who's gonna be there to help make sure that you're doing your best? Who take care of you?
That's why I'm so appreciative of who I have in my corner, Steve, like you say. But
exactly.
We had to sit down and discuss. You know, she knew what she was getting into, and I felt confident enough with her before we got married that she would be the type of person who would help take care of me if I needed help, and vice versa, because, you know, some days she's not feeling up the part, and I have to step up to the plate and help take care of her and make sure she's nourished and rested and taken care of, and all of her business is straight. You know, I have to do that some days for her, but she has to do it more often for me because of my situation. Right. But she knew that before we went into it because we talked about it so long. You know, we had all of the tough discussions and you know, all of the stuff that she had gone through and what she needed to be healed from and what I needed to be healed from and all of these situations. You know, we both had been in different relationships prior to us being together.
Right. But
we came up to the conclusion that we both wanted to be together. We both wanted to be with each other, and we mm-hmm. were willing to do what it was going to take to keep each other satisfied and happy. And that's exactly what we've been doing. And I tell any man, well, I tell any woman this, first of all, I say, baby, I tell it to the girls. You know, we got younger girls. I always tell them this. Women have to realize they are the prize. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't go chasing a man. Let him come to you. So let a man, because a real man wants to chase his woman anyway.
Right.
You know, just that conquering spirit, that egotistical, you know, that we conquered something, we caught what we was chasing. We need all that to make us feel strong as a man. The second thing is, don't ever get no man that you have to re-raise for him to be what you need him to be. You know, I tell him, look for three things in a man. You look for responsibility, integrity, and commitment out of a man. Those three things. If you can find them three things in a dude, you usually can do something with him. You can build something with him. But if he ain't got no integrity, you can forget it. See, and all integrity is that he does the right thing even when ain't nobody watching.
Exactly.
So he's responsible for his mistakes as well as his victories. You see what I'm saying? Takes responsibility for him regardless. And he's committed to it. He don't quit. He don't just get up one day and say, you know, I don't even like that job no more. I ain't going. You can't build nothing with nobody like that.
Right.
So I tell women, look for those three things first. If he don't have those very three core elements in his person, lead that clown where you found him. Take him back to that circus and drop him off at the tent and walk away.
Hey, JD.
But a clown, and once you invite a clown in, you become part of his damn circus. He'll never become part of yours.
Hey, you know what, JD? My wife always tells me, she said, you know, baby, when I met you, you were working. She met me, I was 15, you know, at high school, and I was working at Astroworld.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you say, when I met you, you had a job. I say, I always had a job. You know, I cut yards and swept streets. And then, I mean, I did all that as a kid because I was going to keep the money because my daddy had to put that work ethic in us.
Right.
You know, a man does what he needs to do before he want to do. Now, son, you want to go outside to play, but you need to go in there and wash the dishes, cut that yard, clean that garage. You know, it was certain things that was expected of me as a man. Mm-hmm. And I try to instill those things in my son because sooner or later, you know, he's going to have to teach his children the same thing.
Exactly. And
it should be a progression, you know. But I agree exactly 100% what you're saying, man, too, because the same thing goes for women. You know, that if she wants a good man, she's got to search for a good man. You know, a good man is not going to just fall in your lap, but you got to make sure that you weed out the process. If you date, you can date you some guys. You that's what the dating process does. It helps you find out who's who and what's what, and you weed that out. You're not gonna know unless you date, you know. And I think we have to teach our daughters that dating is not such a negative thing, because you know, now the girls feel as though if I got two or three boyfriends, she's a hoe. Not necessarily. And not just because she's dating doesn't mean she's trying to, like you say, she's taking the test drive, trying to see if this is gonna work. How she's gonna know what a guy is gonna do if this, first of all, if the guy think there's no competition. If he think he got it, he gonna do whatever. He gonna act the fool. Well, I got her. She want me. Well, not if she got options. A woman is as faithful as her options. I've always said that. A woman is as faithful as her options. Please believe me.
Competition breeds excellence, brother.
Oh, already.
You're gonna either step up or step off, baby. One of the two. Yeah.
Straight up.
It should be some competition, especially when you, let me tell you something, Steve. When you're in your 20s, you young. Let me tell you something. When I was 20-something years old, my back was on fire. You can speak with the people. You hear me? You can beat me and I still ain't answering the phone. Yeah, it just, you know, because, you know, y'all remember the beepers back in the day.
Right.
But that we didn't have a cell phone. We had beepers and a $10 roll of quarters. Now, if I felt like calling you back, I'd call you back. But 9 out of 10, if it wasn't about no money, I would ride and chilling.
Or if it didn't have them certain codes on there.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Add the code on there. I'm not calling that number back. I ain't worried about that number because ain't nothing happened. But right. Yeah, you have to understand that's right. Like you say, Steve, I tell them girls, date as many guys as you want to, because you have to find out which one is for you and which one is going to rise to the occasion and be what you need him to be in order to be in your life. See, and a lot of women don't do that. They don't require nothing, these cats, but they will lay up with him, have two or three babies with him, then realize that he ain't going to never be worth a damn, but you stuck with the three babies because he's gone on to the next
one. Exactly.
But see, the downside of what y'all saying to me is like when y'all say she should date whomever and how many she want to.
Right.
What we're talking about is quality, not quantity. It's more quality than quantity.
That's what I'm saying. But in order for them to find the quantity, they got to go through. And a lot of them nowadays, especially from what I'm seeing,
they sleep with all of them.
Young
girls nowadays don't understand that lot. A lot of them don't.
Right. But see, that's where the problem come in, because these girls are going out there dating without fathers in their lives.
I was just about to say that.
Any kind of male guys, they not understand that just because you're dating it don't mean you got to be sleeping with it.
They.
And see, I'm
on top of mind, and it's just certain things, they got their own spot. You can tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Right.
Well, when they go in there and close their door, you can't control that.
Right. Now, the thing is, I had my wife, and my daughter. I took them out to breakfast this morning. Mm-hmm. It was in the morning. She was at the table texting this cat. And he talking about he want to take out. He had just met her like the day before, right, at our office. And he texting her talking about he want to take her out. But what is he going to get out the deal? He not trying to invest no money or any of his time, and he's not going to be getting nothing out of it. And he was talking about sex with her. Now, you just met her yesterday. And here you, I tell you what, you just delete his number. Don't even worry about him no damn more. Yeah, you have to have more, you know, but those guys have gotten to the point where they can do that now because the standards are so low. We didn't play it like that. I say he showed his hand too fast.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He showed his hand a little bit too fast. You leave him alone. Because he ain't worth nothing in the first place. His mentality is thrown off. So that's why I say about these girls, they have to have some type of male entity in their life to help them navigate through some of the foolishness. Because you're right, Kenneth Wayne. A lot of them don't understand that dating don't mean you sleeping with them from the first day off. You know what I'm saying? First day you with them, you got to sleep with them for them to be dating you. I took many women on a bunch of dates before and never seen them again after the first time.
Yeah.
You know, never seen them again. And they don't know if I'm living or dead right now. Unless they watching the man cave, of course, then they like, hey, there you go. But I didn't got away now. I'm put up on the shelf now. My wife will kill me and them by now. Yeah.
My wife says she hit him in the throat.
But we got like five, but I appreciate that conversation. But y'all right. We need to dwell on that as far as women and men relationship situation. We'll start on that again next week. But right now, we got like 5 minutes left, and I want to get into one of my favorite parts of our show, Steve, Hood Shenanigans. And I've been riding through the hood this week, and I know y'all have too. Tell me something that y'all have seen this week in the hood that just kind of made you step back and think a little bit.
I was driving down 1960, going to my softball practice to go pick him up. And I happened to look at the gas station. And lo and behold, two brothers that swinging up for us. And they got this chick, she had her phone out, and she recorded. She like right there next to him, like she works for ABC News. She's jumping up and down. She recorded. I'm like, really? This is what we come to, that fights come out and take out the phones and record it, not to stop it or not to intervene, but to further publicize our ignorance to the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah, that's what we do now. Everybody got a camera.
Yeah.
Everybody got a camera. Ken Wayne, what you got? What you seen in the hood this week, baby, that just knocked the socks off?
Well, I was on my way to Anna House. She moved to the old King's Gate. They call them something else now.
Yeah, I know where they are. Yeah.
And so we was going on the back street, leaving my mama house in the VA. I saw the craziest.
I think the network dropped.
I saw the craziest thing.
Back on, Steve.
Okay.
I saw people literally standing out there, like people I went to school with. It was once on, now they lost. And it's like when you look at them, you thank God for who you became, because you was once out there with them doing the things that they
were
still doing. And so I credit a lot of it to God and my wife backed up. Because, you know, at times, I could still be a butt. I can own it. But, you know, just going back through the dead end and just looking at people, man, and seeing how far I've come.
Right.
You know, that's the hood stuff. Because a lot of still doing stuff we were doing down in the 80s.
Right. And that's right there in itself is a testimony, bro. Let me tell you something. I'm riding, me and baby riding this week, man. I pulled through Cullen area over there by Calhoun and Cullen. Y'all know where we are. But I pulled out through there and we got girls, women, supposed to be our black queens standing out on the corner and what they call them, white beaters. Do rags on their head, drinking beer like the fellas now, man. I said, get out of here, man. I asked my wife, I said, wasn't that a girl? Wasn't that a woman with you? And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about no young little girl. I'm talking about an old coon. She out there looking like a burnt match stick with a do rag on and a white beater and a 40-ounce in her hand, turning it up like it's Kool-Aid. I said, Lord have mercy. I was hood, man, look here. The hood ain't no good no more, man. The hood is just a bottomless pit, bro. But I tell this to black people all the time, man. We are a victim of our own choices, brother. We make a choice to stand out there on them corners. It's cats be out there on them corners, man, before the sun come up. If you can get your behind up and be out there on that corner faithfully like that before the sun come up, you can get up just as easily and go to a labor hall and get your money together to go get you a real job. You know, it steps to it, man. When you so far down, you can't just jump to the top. Sometimes you got to take steps. But we're not willing to make the choices to take the steps to get where we need to go. We want everything in a nice, new, shiny box. That ain't how life works, man. Sometimes sometimes you have to take baby steps or you can take out sprinting and running. It's just like anything else. So on that note, we're going to leave, and I appreciate y'all for the conversation today, man, the insight on these different topics, the Hood Shenanigans, I appreciate. And I'll see y'all next week, man, again. Go ahead, Kenny Wayne. I'm going to let you sign off, baby.
Man, this is Kenny Wayne, the residential country boy coming from Texas City. Say, for those that's listening and looking, please go out and vote.
Amen.
If you never voted, and if you're a convicted felon and you're off parole, you can vote. Don't let nobody tell you things.
Yes, you can. Steve-O, go ahead, baby.
Man, Big C coming here from all the way from Heim Clark to Spring, back even to the all the way back to the dead end. I've been affectionately known as Mr. Bobinology from my friend Wack, and I've used that now. And I'm always about the knowledge. And Kenny Wayne, you're right. Get out there and vote. Life does depend on it. Don't listen to these people like Puffy and Nick Cannon telling you we not gonna vote until they give us what we want for our vote. No, you got to vote to get people in there to get you what you want. Exactly. We can't listen to that foolishness about we gonna hold our vote till our vote matters. It does matter. People have died literally and have given their life for you to have the opportunity, this freedom to vote. And we ignore it. And in this political climate, we cannot ignore it. We can't. We cannot ignore what's going on. Like our lives depend on it, because it does. Our children's lives are going to depend on this, and our children's children. Get out there and vote.
Exactly.
Like what's the name said, our blanket? What she say? Get your ass out there and vote.
Period. That is. But yeah, like I said, this is JD the Barber signing off for JD's Man Cave. And like he said, get your ass out there and vote. We'll see y'all next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. We appreciate y'all, fellas. See y'all next week.
All right.
Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave. Coming to you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.